Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. When you get to that site, just type the words Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You know, the desire to worship is part of our humanity. All people, everywhere, have a desire to worship something or someone. Some people worship the true God, Jehovah. Some worship money. Others worship power. And some worship idols of wood or stone. And some people worship self. Among all the things that people worship, only one is worthy. That is God the Creator, the giver of life and all its blessings. All other gods will only bring disillusionment and heartache. So I ask you, what or who do you worship? I hope you can stay with me as we reflect on that question with a study titled, The Tyranny of Self. Reynald III was a 14th century duke in what is now the country of Belgium. He was a man who was grossly overweight. After a violent quarrel, his younger brother, Edward, led a successful revolt against Reynald. Edward captured him, but he didn't kill him. Instead, he built a room around Reynald in Newkirk Castle and promised him he could regain his title and his property as soon as he was able to leave that room. Now, the room that Edward built had several windows and a door that was close to normal size, and none of them was either locked or barred. The problem was Reynald's size. In order to regain his freedom, he would need to lose weight. But Edward knew his older brother well, and so every day he sent a variety of delicious foods to his room. And instead of dieting his way out of prison, Reynald only grew heavier. Later, someone accused Duke Edward of cruelty, but he had a ready answer. He said, "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave whenever he so wills." You know, Reynald stayed in that room for 10 years, and he wasn't released until after Edward had died in battle. And by then, his health was so ruined, he died within a year. You see, he was a prisoner to the tyranny of his own selfish appetites. Reynald probably wanted his physical freedom, but the desire to satisfy his appetite for food had a far greater control in his life. And you know, when there are two competing desires, the stronger one will win. We think how foolish Reynald was. If he'd only disciplined his eating, he could have been free in a fairly short amount of time. And then once he was free, he could have eaten whatever he wanted. But you know, like him, we can become so enslaved to self and its appetites that we can't accept even temporary discomfort for long-term gain. Now, most likely, you haven't had the experience like Duke Reynald, and I haven't either. But all of us have experienced in some measure the tyranny of self, that is, the cruel and oppressive rule of our own appetites. We know from experience, either to greater or lesser degree, the tragic results of trusting in ourselves. As we continue our study in Luke's Gospel, we come to the verses 24 to 38 in chapter 22. The setting here is the upper room where Jesus was commemorating the Passover with the 12, and he was giving them his final words of counsel. Not long after the events of our text, Jesus would be betrayed and arrested. And the next day, he would be crucified. So Jesus had communicated to his disciples his earnest desire to have this last fellowship with them, because he knew his death was near. But what about the 12? What were they thinking as they pondered Jesus' words and deeds at this final Passover meal? What they were thinking is revealed in our text, and their interaction with Jesus provides a warning for you and me today. So I invite you to listen carefully now as I read that text, Luke chapter 22 and verses 24 to 38. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs, as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors. "For the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." The text reveals several characteristics of the tyranny of self. It shows us the folly of trying to live for Christ in the power of the flesh, and what the remedy is for that folly. The first characteristic is self-promotion. Think about it. Here were the 12 with Jesus in the final hours before his arrest. He had just invited them into a covenant relationship with him and the Father, a covenant that could only be ratified by the shedding of his blood. He had told them so many times before what was coming, how he would suffer and be killed. But they didn't believe it. They refused to believe it. It didn't fit their concept of Messiah. All they could conceive in their minds was a kingdom modeled after the earthly kingdoms that they were familiar with. You see, they knew kingdoms had a king, and a king had a court of trusted advisors, and those advisors had subordinates who carried out the king's decision. So there was a clearly definable hierarchy of leadership in the kingdom. Power flowed from the top. It flowed from the king downward to his subjects. Using that particular model led to a dispute among the 12. Which one of them would be the greatest? The word strife or dispute carries with it the idea of an inclination or an eagerness or fondness to contend. Can you relate to that? Does the desire to be first ever bring you into conflict with other people? You know, this isn't the first time the 12 have gone down this path of self-promotion. In Luke chapter 9, they had a similar experience. There, they had a dialogue or a reasoning among themselves about which one of them should be the greatest. and each one of them put forth his ideas why he should be preferred above the others. In that case, Jesus brought a child into their inner circle to remind them of the need for simple faith and trust in him. And he also reminded them that the one who is perceived as least is, in fact, the one who is truly great. You know, by virtue of our humanity, you and I have a problem, just like the 12 did. Well, maybe I should just speak for myself. But I have a hunch you struggle with this characteristic of self-promotion, to one degree or another. Because of my role as a Bible teacher on our radio programs, many people know who I am. And when I meet some of them in public settings, they express appreciation for the teaching they hear from God's Word. And you know, I have to be on my guard not to allow the praise and gratitude of the listeners to stir up pride in my heart. And sometimes, when I'm visiting another church fellowship other than my home church, I hope the leadership will notice me sitting in the pew. Maybe they'll even invite me to read scripture or to lead in a prayer. You see, I'm in a setting where God is being worshiped, and I want to be noticed? That's wrong. I acknowledge that desire for what it truly is, self-promotion, and it is not of God. It's from my flesh. Now, you may struggle with this characteristic of self-promotion in different ways than I do. Perhaps for you, it's not getting the position at work you think you deserve. Or maybe someone else gets the credit for your hard work. So you become surly and highly critical of your boss. Or maybe it's among your peers where you seek the leadership position. You want to be the one that they look to as having it all together. You want to be the one other people try to copy or imitate in your lifestyle or your dress or your choices of leisure activity. You and I have so much in common with the 12. So let's look at how Jesus responded to their dispute. But that will have to wait until our next visit because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just ask for it by its title, The Tyranny of Self. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Tyranny of Self. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, mail@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, and request your free copy of this teaching, The Tyranny of Self. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Just type Hope for Today in the search bar and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Tyranny of Self. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.